after you've deployed and verified your deployment of Azure SQL Database or Azure SQL Managed Instance, the next thing you might do is configure your server or your managed instance.
So you saw the choices in a previous video Anna made to deploy an Azure SQL Database, and there were similar choices to deploy managed instance. I thought it might be fun interesting about how to compare configuring a managed instance or an Azure database or logical server with configuring a SQL server. How do you compare and contrast these things? Well, first of all, consider managed instance. Remember, this is a SQL instance. So things you're familiar with, like the SP configure stored procedure, even trace flags, configuring things like tempdb, the sizes of model and so forth, how many different error logs you get to cycle through, addition, which in this particular case is kind of like your service tier, your slow options, or even networking or space management, all of those tasks at the instance level are available to you. In some cases, there are some limitations. For example, you don't get to restart your managed instance, so you can't pick a configuration option that requires a restart. Although what we believe in many cases, you don't even really need those options when using a managed instance system. So that's an example of things you would go through to configure a managed instance. What about configuring a database? Well, first of all, you might need to configure databases within a managed instance, but you mean you've configured the actual database in Azure SQL Database. And the most popular way to do that that anyone knows of is Alter Database. So there's certain options that you're going to get. So for example, you can do Alter Database options for files and their sizes with MI. But in Azure Database, you only have one file. So you don't configure files directly with Alter Database. There are certain set options you're used to doing, like setting checksum or various properties of your database. Those options exist both for MI and Azure Database. Let me stop and pause something to give you a tip. If you look at our documentation for Alter Database, you're going to love the interface because at the top, we're going to give you a choice of what is your deployment option. Is it a SQL server? Is it a managed instance? Or is it a database? And as you pick those options, we will pivot and show you the syntax and examples that apply to those choices. Many of you have seen we've introduced something called Alter Database Scoped Configuration for things like max degree of parallelism. All those options exist for you there, both for MI and for DB. And then you might find it interesting, aside from network configuration and different space management choices, which we'll talk about in a second, that Azure Database has some interesting properties. For example, we offer stale page detection for certain concurrency and integrity scenarios, and we turn that on for your database. And there are certain default options that we put on for an Azure SQL Database that you may be familiar with. For example, read committed snapshots on by default to actually help with locking scenarios. Azure databases, and even in managed instance, only support the full recovery model. So that's on by default and cannot be changed. But we're going to light up checksum for integrity. We're going to turn on query store, which we'll talk about in other modules for performance. And we'll even put on by default transparent data encryption and the new feature called accelerated database recovery. So these are the default options that are kind of nice for you that we just light up for you to give you that more managed experience. Now, I thought you might find interesting that if you're configuring a SQL server with a tool like SQL Server Configuration Manager, you might be used to some things like starting and stopping the service, or turning on locked pages in memory with certain options, or instant file initialization, or even file stream. We restrict those choices from you. Now, some things like locked pages in memory, we're studying for the future, should we enable this by default, and do we even need to do that in our infrastructure? But Anna mentioned about server collation. You can pick that in an NMI deployment, but you can't change it past that point. So it's kind of important you make that decision up front of what you're gonna use. All these other options like alter server configuration, where you might use it for like NUMA deployments and so forth, none of those kind of type things make sense in a PaaS environment, so we don't turn on and don't allow that T-SQL syntax. Now, you may be used to things like mixed mode security or log on auditing with SQL audit or server proxy. None of those things really apply or are allowed to be configured in managed instance, but you have to ask yourself, does it matter? So mixed mode is on by default because you have to supply a SQL login when you deploy. You're going to see in the security model, we're going to allow you to do Active Directory authentication, so you're going to get that world together. And logon auditing is done in SQL audit for a SQL database, but you're going to find out that we're going to give you some options of managed instance that are going to feel more like a SQL server. So if you think about these all combined, you're going to perform some of the same tasks you're used to in configuring a managed instance, like you do a SQL server with some differences. You're going to configure databases very similar like you use in SQL Server, but there's some things at the instance level with tools like a SQL Server Configuration Manager that just don't make sense in the Azure world. Now, we mentioned before in this configuration task, you may have to consider things like space management. So we thought we'd take a second and explain some of the differences between space management and Azure SQL Managed Instance and Database versus SQL Server. For example, when you're picking the storage capacities for a managed instance to based on what deployment option you pick, you're picking the max storage for the entire instance, not for the database. So vCores can actually affect this. And in the case of business critical, in order to meet our SLAs and because you're using local storage, you actually have a little less space than you would have in a general purpose scenario. The database that are created use model, but the models are slightly larger and they're configurable in these scenarios with managed instance. You can alter the size and number of files, but you don't place files in physical locations in Azure Managed Instance. But you have to ask yourself, does it matter? If you have the performance you need, the various IOPS options and latencies, placing files in physical storage are actually one thing that we're doing to abstract you. It's one of the benefits of platforms as service. Now, many of you have used SQL for a while are used to running out of space. And so an 1105 error, which is the most common error in the world to run out of space in a database, it still applies. But what if you ran out of space for the entire instance, as I told you, is one of the ways of configuring your managed instance? You get a slightly different error to say, hey, you've run out of the max capacity of your managed instance. You've got to actually give it more space. Now, one of the interesting aspects of using managed instance is that databases for general purpose are on Azure storage, not local. As it turns out, there are some options where you can increase the size of your files on those Azure storage options and get better performance depending on that size you're picking. What about Azure SQL Database? Is it similar or different? One difference that I've noticed when I'm looking at it is I'm always looking at things like sys.databases for max size of my files. So when you deploy an Azure SQL Database, you're going to pick something called data max size. That is the maximum possible size of a single database file that applies to Azure SQL Database. But what you might find a little bit interesting is if you pick a really, really large size, we don't deploy a file immediately of that size. We may grow into that. So the max size in a catalog view may not be exactly data max size, but it'll grow into that size. Hyperscale, as we've talked about, that architecture is a lot different. You don't even pick a size. Hyperscale just creates a database of 40 gigs and just grows itself automatically. And again, you're going to see in the architecture, that growth's not going to affect you because we're using Azure storage for your databases, but a series of caches to support performance in each part of the tiered architecture of Hyperscale. Now, transaction log maximums can be a little bit different in this space. They are actually 30% above your data max size, and that's the max you need. Now, people have said to me when I've shown them this is that, well, wait a minute, this is a problem. What if my transaction log starts growing out of control? Guess what? We regularly back up your logs in this full recovery model to truncate them, and we use accelerated database recovery, so we're not beholden to active transactions, and you don't even run into these transaction log scenarios that grow out of control. So those are some interesting details that you'll consider as you're choosing managed instance and Azure SQL Database and when you're thinking about it from a space management perspective. So we talked about configuring instances and databases and space management. Perhaps the last topic to consider about just a configuration after deploy is your network architecture.
So when you start to think about how you're going to connect to your SQL database or your Azure SQL Managed Instance, there are a few options that you have available. And we thought that you know, there's a big impact on what this decision is, so we wanted to make sure we brought it up. Now, what you'll see in the top left of your screen is the logical database server that you would connect to for Azure SQL Database. It would look slightly different for Managed Instance, but if you look at the DNS hierarchy, you can also see things like the region that it's in, sometimes which control ring, and some sort of IP address. Now, when you try to connect to SQL from, let's say, a virtual machine or your local machine, by default, what's going to happen is you're going to go through a gateway. So this is called the proxy approach. And that basically means we're going to go to the gateway. And once everything's okay and you're authenticated, then the gateway is going to point you to the Azure SQL database that you've, you know, basically logged into. Now, the other option is redirect. So in redirect, there's really two phases. First, what we'll do is we'll go to the gateway and kind of do the handshake. And if it comes back okay, the gateway will return how to connect to that database, and we can actually redirect all future queries on that connection directly to the database. Now, you might be wondering, why do I care, and what's the impact, right? But using redirect, since we're not going to the gateway every single time, is actually going to allow us to get much less latency in our requests. So while proxy is kind of the default option, redirect can be a more performant solution. The reason we don't do this by default is because it does require that you open up a few additional ports. So this is something you'll have to talk to your network or security people to make sure that this is okay and that you are going to be able to connect if you switch to the redirect method. So hopefully in this video, you've seen how to configure your managed instance and your logical database server, including your databases in either of those deployment options, and including some things like how to deal with space management and your connectivity to SQL. Stay tuned for the next video.